will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of gold. Angels choir singing glad praises forever.
Bible and turn to the book of St. Matthew. I want you to stand for the reading of the word. We will go this morning to chapter 19. I have a message that has burned in my heart the whole week. The whole week. And my prayer is that you will not miss a word of it. Because it really is a message at where the church world is desperate to come. Very important that you listen carefully this morning. The book of Matthew, chapter 19, and we'll go to verse 28. Make sure everybody has those verses and are ready to read with me. Very important. Want you to read it with me. It's kind of powerful stuff. It'll get down where you live. It'll get down where you live, okay? The book of Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Now listen carefully. Ye also shall sit with me on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now listen, that's Jesus talking to his disciples. And he said to them, you which have followed me in this regeneration, this being born again, when the Son of Man shall sit in his glory. Now he was talking specifically to the 12. But it goes far beyond the 12, as we shall see in the next verse. Because he's dealing with every person who comes to Christ fully and wholly and give their life to him. Notice verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or father, or mother, or wife. Did he say wife? Don't ever remember knowing that before. Our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake. Notice why they forsook their houses. Notice why they forsook land. Notice why they forsook things. Notice that now. Very important for you to notice that. They did it for him. They didn't do it for self-satisfaction. They didn't do it for self-desire. They forsook for Jesus, for Christ, for the Savior. Shall receive, now you got to hear this, 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. If you forsake everything for Jesus, you get everything he's promised. And he says 100-fold. 100-fold. Did you read that? Somebody say 100-fold. 100-fold. Shall receive 100-fold and not just 100-fold and shall inherit eternal life. What a text of scripture. I wonder how many people in God's church world even know that verse today. But many that are called shall be last. Many that are first shall be last. And the last shall be first. Now, I want to preach this morning on a message that I really am excited about. I love preaching anywhere. You already know me that good. But I really want this message to arrest your heart. I want to begin by setting a vessel right here. There's a story behind that vessel, and it relates to my sermon. And I think it illustrates my sermon better than probably my words can. So please note that vessel. I got to put it somewhere. I don't want it broken. It's beautiful. But I want to tell you a story about it that will, I hope, help you understand my sermon. And I want to preach on Jesus wants you, but only if you're willing to be only for him. Jesus wants you, but only if you're willing to be total for him. He doesn't want any half-breeds. He didn't want any distant followers. He doesn't want anybody that loves other things better than him. He wants to be first, and he will not be second. I want you to say with me, he will not be second. Say it again, he will not be second. He will not be second. He just will not be second. He cannot change your life. Here's the reason for what I've just said. You got to get the reason. And you may be seated, by the way. I've got to stand. I really think you ought to have to stand with me. But since you probably would get tired and walk out on me, I'm going to let you be seated. That's just my little fun this morning. Now, the reason he will not take part of you is because you cannot put anything together with parts. You've got to have the whole thing. I had a terrible day of the night, really. And through the night, I remembered a great thing I read many years ago. And it was a marvelous statement, marvelous. It said, God can put your life back together, but he has to have all the parts. Think about that. God can put your life back together, but he has to have all the parts. And that came to me in the middle of the night. I was grieving over Sister Chambers. It was one night I thought I was probably going to die of a broken heart. And the Lord said to me, I'll put it back together if you'll give me all the parts. And I was arguing with God. I said, but she's got part of them. Do you know God didn't pay that no attention? You already knew that, didn't you? But God cannot take you and make something unique out of you unless he has all the parts. A broken vessel can never be mended until you have all the parts to get this sermon started. I want to tell you the story. I took my youngest grandson with me to Santo Domingo. And he was just a little kid, and he had a big old heart and very little money. And he was looking with me in the shops, and I'd always find something for Mama. And he found this vessel. And he bought it with his last dollars. He was tickled out of his mind. Oh, kid, got a vessel for Mama, and she's going to love it. Well, when we got home on the plane, it had been crumbled. It had been broken all to pieces. And that little kid was squalling. I said, listen to me, Andrew. Old Papa was pretty good putting things together. You get every part. Don't you miss a crumble. And I promise you, I'll sit down at home and I'll put this vessel back together for you. You can see, look at the places broken, all kinds of cracks. It took me hours. But by the hand of God, I put this vessel back together for Mama. Hold it. I mean, I worked hard. But only because Andrew had gathered up every part could I glue that thing back together. And do you know what my opinion of that vessel is? It's worth 10 times what it was before it was broken. Because somehow, by the grace of God, with every part, I was able to put it back together. What I want to tell you this morning in this sermon, and I'm not going to do it without a little squalling, okay? I want to tell you that God can take the most broken life, so debauched and so destroyed and so many pieces, and God can put it back together again. Would you raise your hand if you believe that? God can put it back together again. But you got to hear me when I tell you, you got to give him all the pieces. See, I'm preaching this morning about what it means to really be born again. What it means to really be saved. And I'm here to tell you that God is the God of graces and mercies. And God wants your life for one reason. He don't want you just to save you from hell. I'm sick and tired of meeting people who want salvation because they don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell, and I'm not going to hell, but there's something bigger than not going to hell. It's knowing him, the Son of God. It's being saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's being a new creature. It's being a new individual. It's having a new life. So I want you to make sure you understand this morning as I begin this message that God can put a broken vessel together. There's somebody here this morning. There's somebody here this morning. Your life is in shadows. Your life is in shadows. And God wants to pick it up if you're willing to give him all the pieces. And he wants to put it back together for you. And he wants to make a new vessel out of you. And I shall do my level best to preach this sermon across the airwaves everywhere I can, because I've never had such a passion to see sinners saved. I want to see sinners saved. I want to see sinners come to Christ. You see, here's something you got to understand. I want to make some points really clear before I get to my real points. Human life is the most fragile thing on the face of this earth. There is nothing out there that we are dealing with in life that's more fragile than a human life, a human vessel. We are fragile. I don't know whether you understand that about you or not. I didn't know too much until recently, but I've sure learned it about me. Human life is fragile. Human life can break at any time and any turn of your life experiences. Apostle Paul, the book of 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, he said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Notice that word subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself, he says the word myself, should be a castaway. Apostle Paul, that great apostle that wrote over half of the books of the New Testament, would say in the closing years of his ministry, I have to watch me. I have to be careful about me. I have to keep going back to the peacekeeper. I have to keep going back to the one who puts the broken back together. I have to keep going back to the one that keeps me straight. Because only by him, with this fragile life that you have, I want everybody in here to raise up a finger, if you would, and just say with me, I am fragile. Come on, let me see your hand. I am fragile. Would you look around now? I am fragile. If you don't understand that, you are in danger zone. If you think you're big enough and strong enough and great enough and smart enough that you can whip every devil that comes to town. One of my weaknesses through the years is I've never been scared of nothing, you know. Just wasn't raised to be scared of nothing. I wasn't raised to run from nothing. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me from the front side. You ain't going to kill me from the back side. Because I ain't running from you. You know, that's just how I felt. And if you don't be careful with that, that can get you in trouble. Anybody understand that? Are you willing to be vulnerable with me? I'm willing to be vulnerable this morning because I'm realizing more than ever how vulnerable this old flesh is, how much we need him, how much we need the risen Lord, how much we need his graces and his mercies. Hallelujah. You've got to take with you this morning that you're fragile. And if you don't be careful to stay close to Christ, you're going to get in trouble. Bad trouble. Deep trouble. Horrible trouble. And so, you must understand that you are fragile. Very fragile. Very fragile. And then I want to tell you one more thing, and I'll get to my points this morning. I really want you to hear me. Very important. He literally, in his plans, wants to make something special out of every one of your lives. God is not the kind of God that picks and chooses according to color, our skills, our abilities, our education, our money, or nothing else. He wants every one of you to have a good life and a decent life and a wholesome life and a pure life. He wants to make something out of you. He wants to make something out of you. My gracious. He went down to the old farm in Bushy Fork and picked up a scrubby, snotty-nosed little brat who stumbled and fell around on everything and tore up everything he got on. And by grace, called me to be his preacher. Why would he do such a thing? I'll tell you why, because he's got everybody out there. He wants to make something out of you. He wants to make you something special. He wants to make you somebody he can use. He wants to put something in you that'll turn you right side up and straight side forward. He wants to make you something that he can use that can bring glory to him. But he wants to make you something, Brother Al, that can bring glory to you. Now I'm talking about the reason Jesus is out to save souls. He's not just trying to keep you out of hell. More people than you can imagine are already in hell and haven't even died. Do you understand that? Do you ever weep because of these people you see that are just living in hell? They're living so troubled and so broken. Their life has been turned to shivers, and they're sad. And when I see them more than ever in my life as an old man, I'm a squalling and a crying. I've told God the rest of my days at 82, I want to spend them like Jeremiah. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Hallelujah. I want God to be able to pick you up this morning and make something out of you for his glory and his kingdom. Now, understanding all of that, we need to go to the book of John. And I need to tell you something that is so important. You must be born again. You must be born again. Are you listening to me? You must be born again. Now, we're talking about God making something out of you. We're talking about God putting those pieces back together. We're talking about God taking you wherever you are in your walk with him and making you something extremely important and special. And I'm going to tell you, he doesn't just pick it up and mend it a little bit and try to make it look a little better. He's not interested in putting, just some band-aids on you. I was trying to find the right word there. Band-aids. That's it. He's not willing to put band-aids on you. Anybody listening? Raise your hand if you're listening. He's not willing to put band-aids. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be completely made all over brand new. He wants to pick up the broken pieces and make a vessel that shines for his honor and his glory. He wants to make you all over again. And the Bible calls that being born again. The book of John 3. This is so powerful to me. I love when I preach simple things because simple things are things that change people's lives. St. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again. Would you look at that word born again, those two words? How about saying them with me? Would you born again? You must be born again. Now listen, let me read on. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's the word of God, and of the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now I want to read more. Let me stop right there. Now you got to hear me. I want you to understand that God does want to put you back together. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care who you know, how bad their life has become. It doesn't matter. God actually wants to fix every person out there. That's not a one of you sitting in here. That's not a one of you that listen to anybody preach. Listen to me. That he doesn't want to save you. But he will not put a band-aid on you. He wants you to be born again. Are you getting the message? He wants you to be born again. He will not take you into his family if you're not born again. Notice what he just said. You cannot enter the kingdom of God except ye be born again. You've got to go back to the very beginning and start all over. Can you imagine anything more wonderful? I've had some mistakes in my life, and nothing was more thrilling. I could repent and start right back over. I heard Brother Marlin teaching that this morning. If you make a mistake, don't give up. Don't fling everything aside. Get on your face and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse it out of you. I've been born again so many times, it's not even funny. And I know you can't be born again but one time. But I'm just using that to make you understand that I've had to do some repenting. And if you haven't had to repent, it's because you're so self-righteous. You don't know what a sorry thing you are. Okay, somebody help me by saying amen, would you? How many of you know you have to repent? Let me see your hand. I'm trying to be real plain. I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm careful with that. But I want to tell you, you must be born again. And you cannot be born again just because you come down to this altar and say some skinny little prayer. You've got to surrender your life to Him. Going back to my title, He's not going to fix it if you don't give Him all the pieces. He's not going to put it back together if you don't give it up to Him. He cannot be the Lord of anything if He's not the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of all, or He's not the Lord at all. How many know that is the truth? So, you must be born again. That's the most simple message. See, when you say born again, this Pharisee was an educated dude, and he said, man, have I got to go back to mama and get back inside her body and be born like that? Jesus said, you know not what you're talking about. He said, except you be born of the water, the Word of God, and the Spirit. You've got to have a transformation. And he goes on to give such language there. I don't have time to preach it all. But he said, like the wind blowing, where it listeth. He said, so is a man who's born again. It's something that happens that so miraculously, it just sweeps down. I'll never forget the night I was born again. Oh, it was a great night. And I didn't know nothing. You know, I left church, and Peggy's probably never heard me say this. I left church telling people I went to church a goat, but I'm going home a sheep. I don't know where I heard that, but it got a hold of me. And I remember saying it on the way home that night, out the window of the car to somebody where Roby had stopped to sell some liquor to, if you can believe it. He was a bootlegger. His wife was a Christian. He took us to church in his car with bootlegged liquor laying in the floorboard. I rode to church many times with a guano sack full of, you don't know what a guano sack is, do you? Huh? She does. A guano sack, an old brown sack that you used to buy things in on the farm, called a guano sack. And he'd have it full of white lightning liquor in the floorboard. I'd sit with my feet on it, shouting and praising God because I'd got saved. I didn't know what my feet was on, but I knew what my heart was on. Well, I knew what my feet was on. It was on the rock. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, church. You got to be born again. Listen to me, my friends. You've got to be born again. If all you've got is a little bit of religion, it ain't going to do you no good when you stand before the trumpet, when you stand before the king, when you stand before the judge. You got to be born again. You got to be a brand new creature right in here. Right in here. Brand new creature. Now, if you got to be a brand new creature, what does that? Why do you think he suffered horrendous death on the cross? As his blood drained from his body. Well, every drop had fell upon the ground below. And he gave himself to die hanging. Why do you think he did that? If he didn't do it to do something supernatural in your life. He wants to change you so supernaturally that you won't even know yourself when you get up from the altar. How many of you remember getting saved and looking back at your prior life and say, what in the world was wrong with me? What a dude I was. What a sorry thing I was. How horrible I was. You didn't even know yourself once you really got good and saved. That's because being born again is a heavenly transformation. And God does it when you surrender. And you listen to me. If you say, hey, I can never get to that. I don't understand that. Just give Him all you are. He'll take care of the rest. Just fling yourself on the altar. And say, I'm His from this hour forward. And mean it. And then trust Him. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll change you so utterly. He changed Marlon Clark. He didn't deserve it. But he sure made a new creature out of him. How many of you know that you have been made a new creature out of? Raise your hand up and wave it. Come on, shake it a little bit. Hallelujah, Brother Al. He made a new creature out of you. I love you, brother. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. And we got some Baptists here. I don't want them to stay Baptist long. I'm trying to make Pentecostal out of him. Brother Doug, he's a wonderful medical doctor, retired now, but he's still one of my great friends. And he's kind of Baptist bred and Baptist saturated. And I've been trying to get it out of him. How long, Judy, have I been trying to get him out of it? Long time, huh? Hallelujah. Judy's a whole Pentecostal, raised in the Pentecostal realm. I'll tell you something, church. There's nothing like being born again. And the Baptists believe that, don't they, Brother Doug? Hallelujah. Born again. Somebody say the word born again. That means he grabs the old hunk of clay. Oh, Shekharuah. Okay, and he puts it back together again. Hallelujah. That's what it is, Sister Peggy. Hallelujah. He grabs an old hunk of clay. He takes a know-nothing. He takes somebody who's wrecked their life with all kind of wickedness and sin. He takes liars and thieves and cursers and swearers and smokers and drinkers. He takes every one of them if they'll surrender. Just fling it at his feet. You do it, Lord. How can I make it any more simple? I'm trying my best to make it so simple that nobody can doubt it. Give him what you are. I'll never forget. I was just a young preacher. I was at camp meeting. And an old Holy Ghost-filled preacher of the past, they had to help him up on the stage. You know, the best preachers are some kind, the kind that you got to help up on the stage. You know, I may be there sooner than I think. Not quite there yet, so don't you go messing with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me now. That old preacher got up on the stage and God anointed him and the Holy Ghost came on him, Brother Doug. You may have been there. And he gave a message in tongues. Then he gave the interpretation. And here's what God said. God said, if you will give me all you are, I'll give you all I am. Brother Silken, I've never forgot those words. If you'll give me all you are, I'll give you all I am. Raise, you remember that, Doug? You remember hearing that? Hallelujah. That's wonderful. I never met nobody that remembered hearing that before because that's been a long time ago. Oh, me. But you give him, listen to me now. I want to say this for you. That's what being born again is. Being born again is you giving God all you are. With all your messes, with all your sins, with all your troubles, with everything you've done wrong, you give God everything you are. And he will make out of you everything he is. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when a 16-year-old brat came down to the altar 66 years ago and gave my life to Jesus, that I got up from the altar and all those sins that I had done were gone. And all Jesus could see was an image of himself. The grace of God had made me like himself. The grace of God had changed my life. Now don't get tired on me. I'm trying my best not to preach long. But I do want to make sure I get to two or three more points. Time passes fast. But I want you to hear me this morning. I want you to listen very carefully. You must be born again. That's number one. And then God wants to take you and make something outstanding out of you. I want to go back to my text now. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 19. And I want you to hear it. And I want us to talk a little bit about what you've got to do when you're saved. What's got to happen? We got a church full of people that get saved and they sit down and they become sanctified. They become, I don't know, they become everything but what God wants them to be. When you get saved, friend, you just entered the door. You just got started. God now wants to take you and make something so beautiful out of you and so shining and so wonderful. He wants to make your life a breathtaking picture of all of his graces and goodness. He wants to make something beautiful out of you. Some of you said, I've never been pretty. Well, I've never been pretty either. But I know one thing. He beautifies the meek with salvation. How many remember that verse? He beautifies the meek with salvation. He takes an old ugly looking face and makes a shining face out of it. Hallelujah. That's what he does. That's his desire. That's his interest in you. Now, back to our text. What do you do now that you've become a Christian? Most people don't go any further. We criticize the Baptists and talk about them for being once saved, always saved. And we're once Pentecostal, always Pentecostal in the same fashion. We just stop where we are. I don't care whether you're Pentecostal or Baptist. There's no stopping place in this Christian walk. It's a going on with the Lord. It's a following hard after Him. And listen, the thing I want to really get to your heart this morning is you've got to give up this world. You've got to give up this world. You say, Brother Chambers, no, me, I'm not giving up the world. You've got to give up everything and make Him the center of all. If you'd rather have a pocket full of money than a heart full of the Holy Ghost, then you can have the pocket full of money. You're not going to get the other two. And that has to do with everything about your life. You've got to surrender to Him. He said it, if you will forsake everything. I can read you other scriptures where He said, except you take up the cross and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. Quote that with me. Everybody here knows that verse. Except you take up the cross and follow Him, you cannot be My disciple. How many of you understand that? How many of you know you can't live a Christian life half in and half out? Have you ever tried to spend time straddling the fence on everything that comes to life? It's a miserable state of mind. It's a miserable situation. And everybody that straddles the fence usually falls off on the dark side. Huh? The devil's on the fence. Oh, he owns the fence. Oh, I didn't know that one. That sounds pretty good theology, doesn't it? Come from my Sunday school teacher. The devil owns the fence. Well, in this sense, he does. So you got to go forward. My text says, give up houses. I remember when Mama and I we was courting, Brother Doug. Mama and I was courting. She worked first shift at Western Electric like I did. And her boyfriend, whom she was engaged to, was on second shift. So he told me I could take Juanita and take her with me to some church services. He didn't know what he was doing to himself. All's fair in love and war, so don't get mad at me, okay? And so Mama and I would get in the car, and we'd have a missionary journey. And we'd say, well, let's go to Haiti tonight. And we'd go on these missionaries. That's how we fell in love. And we spent our life. Be with me now. Just be patient. We spent our life like that. I mean, every ounce of it. Every ounce. And we gave up everything. We never kept money. We gave it to the work of God. Mission work. We just loved it. We just loved it. There's nothing like living a sacrificial life. Let's spend a little time here now with this. When you live a sacrificial life and He owns everything you are, it's the most peaceable place you've ever lived. What have I got to live for, worry about? He's in charge of every bit of it. And I have found out that He actually is in charge of everything that has to do with my life. And when I get in trouble, when I fell out on that sidewalk and busted myself good fashion, I didn't run to no doctor. If it's time to go to heaven, Lord, I'm ready. If not, heal me. He chose to heal me. Well, He always will choose to heal you when you trust in Him. I can preach a little divine healing here if you don't mind. If anybody here believes in divine healing, it's got to be me. Let me see your hand if you believe in divine healing. Let me see your hand if you really believe in divine healing. Hallelujah. I'm not against doctors. I've got wonderful friends who are doctors. But I want to tell you something. Jesus, by His stripes, is the healer. And we trusted that. And oh, how many times have we seen His virtues and His healing? And He wants you now, just as much as anybody else, to forsake everything of this world and to go full steam after Jesus. Is anybody here ready to do that? Are you ready to go full steam after Jesus? I'm so glad to see you here this morning. I kept thinking who that was. Listen, I want you to know something, church. He wants you to go full steam after him and give him everything you are. Are you ready? I got to tell you my story. The Holy Ghost really laid it on my heart. I got sick Thursday. But I wasn't body sick. I was heart sick. It wasn't physical, it was spiritual. Now don't look at me and think some grievous sin I did. I don't know one. I just know I was heart sick. I was so heart sick, it was indescribable. And I've been that way 4 days. I'm just coming out of it today. Just plain heart sick. And while I was heart sick, I was grieving over Juanita. And God spoke to me. He hasn't spoken to me many times, but he did this time. He just simply said to me, give Juanita to me. I said, no way, God. Don't require that of me. I've give up houses. I've give up land. I've give up money. But I can't give her up. I want her back. And I've done that for 5 months and 8 days. Well, 6 days, 2 days ago. And God dealt with me all day Thursday. I thought I was going to die. Friday morning, I heard him say, give Juanita to me. And I screamed out to God, I'm giving Juanita to you. Peggy, I gave her to Jesus. Because it just gripped me that she's got a job over there to do, and I can't hinder her because I'm going to join her very soon. And she's probably getting some things ready for me. And so I gave Juanita up. It took me 3 or 4 days to get out of this one. But today, I feel like 1,000 pounds have fell off my shoulder. Hallelujah. I don't even think you all are understanding what I'm telling you. And it don't really matter as long as I've taken care of it in my heart. But I had to give her up. He said, forsake houses and lands and all these things. And then he says, wife. Wife. And I gave her to Jesus. Would somebody just lift a hand and say, I'm ready to give God everything I am. It's so pretty. Hello. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me say hallelujah. He wants everything you are, and he'll put it back together in a way that you could never understand. Oh, well, I was quickly becoming an old broken vessel. But this morning, all the pieces are back in shape. Hallelujah. All the pieces are back together. And the joy of the Holy Ghost is running up and down the spines of this old man. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I belong to him. And mama's over there having a good time. I'm sure you better be worrying about me. No, but she probably isn't. Have you ever felt this way? Hallelujah. Are you okay? Are you with me this morning? Well, see, life is like this. I know I'm preaching things like you never heard me preach, but life's like this. If we don't be careful, the little things will tear us apart. We're fragile. You remember me saying that a while ago? We're fragile. But he can put it all back together again. All right. Let's conclude this sermon with a surrender of ourselves to him. I know I'm 82. Doug is be 83 shortly, but he's still 82. Nobody, Brother Buck's the only person here older than us. Brother Buck's past 90. Got a call this week from Brother Loftus wanting me to come to his birthday party on the 10th of March. He's going to be 90. I don't want to make 90. But if he wants me to, I'm going to do it with all I got. Hallelujah. I'm going to serve him to the end. I'm telling you right now, this morning, I am willing to forsake everything to follow him. It don't matter what it is. I don't care about the pleasures of the world. The things that are hurtful, the things that harm, the things that discourage you, the things that break your heart, give them up. Give them up. Turn them over to God. Don't even think about them no longer than it takes you to pray through. Put them on the altar and give everything to God. Give your life to God. Give your whole being to God. Give your whole person to God. And I promise you, you listen to me, He'll give you 100-fold. And when life is over, He'll give you eternal life. Now think about God giving you 100-fold in this life. You hadn't seen nothing yet of Joe Chambers. I don't know what God's going to do these last days, but I guarantee you one thing. I'm going to preach this word with greater liberty than I ever have in my life. Hallelujah. Because it's all on the altar of Jesus laid. Woo! Hallelujah. If you can put it all on the altar. Don't do it hurriedly now. Don't do it in mass now. But think about it. I want to put my all on the altar afresh this morning. And if you can come to the conclusion that you want to, stand up. One at a time now. Don't do it in mass. Think very carefully. I want to give it all. I literally want to be His totally. I literally want to be His totally. Be careful now. Don't you stand up and lie. Don't you say something that's not in your heart. Everything I got on the altar to Jesus. Everything on the altar to Jesus. All right now, your houses. Come on, raise your hand as I speak things. Houses, lands, lots of money, big time pleasure. Things that don't mean a hill of beans, but you've fallen in love with them. Everything. Now I want you to raise your hand right up to God and say, God, all on the altar of sacrifice laid. That's an old song. All on the altar of sacrifice laid. I'm ready this morning. I'm ready. Thank you, Father, for helping me with my sweet Juanita. Thank you, Father, for bringing me to the place of surrender. And I know it's done. I may have to pray about it a few times, God, but I will. I claim it so. Everything on the altar to Jesus. Everything on the altar for Christ. Everything for His glory. Now I want you to raise your hand. And I want you right in your seat to humble yourself and give yourself afresh to the Lord. If you need to be saved this morning, step out of your seat and come to this altar and He'll save you. He'll make a new creature out of you. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. What a Savior He is. What a Master He is. What a vessel restorer He is. Think about the vessel restorer, okay? The one who restores a broken vessel. The one who puts it all back together, singing for His glory. The one who puts it all back together. Don't pick that up now, drop it.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Sing it out, will you?
All to Him all right. I freely give.
All right, right in your pew.
And
do it.
I will ever love and trust
Him. I give it all. I give it all.
His
I give it all to Him.
Daily live.
Sing it. Sing it. Oh.
I surrender all.
Oh, hallelujah. Does somebody want to be saved? Step out of your seat and come. This altar is an open place. I want to be reborn.
Blessed Savior,
oh, I will surrender. Oh. Comes a little life that wants to surrender this morning. Hold it down just a moment. Listen to me. There's somebody else in this building. that needs to give your life to Christ. I want you to know, it don't matter how broken. If you would, honey, just kneel right there. Good place to kneel and let those tears flow. Kneel with her. If you need to come. I want to take a moment here. The Holy Ghost is talking. Somebody let the Holy Ghost do his talking. Raise your hand and let the Holy Ghost be real in this place. I love it when you can hear the rumblings of the Spirit as you give an altar call. Let the Holy Ghost be real to you. Now, if anybody over here, if you're not saved, please don't leave here and be lost. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm just not ready. Well, you can't come until you're ready. But if you're willing to give him all, he's willing to put it back together for you. I'm thinking of somebody right now. You know you need Christ. He brought you here to hear this message about a broken vessel and him putting it back together. Would you come? Step out, little lady. Step out, young man. Oh, there's somebody. We got to wait a minute. I can't hurry. The Holy Ghost holds me. Hallelujah. Raise your hand up and pray. Raise your hand up, church, if you know how to pray, and pray. Hallelujah. 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 Father, help her. I surrender. You giving him all? Are you giving him all, huh? Yes. She says she is. If you surrender all, he'll make a new vessel out of you. But there's somebody else here. I'm waiting. Somebody's got to help me pray, church. The Holy Ghost isn't through. Would you come? Would you step out and say, my vessel's in a mess, but I want it fixed. I'm coming. I'm turning the vessel over to God. Mataroshia. Ah, somebody's standing there trembling. Please don't just tremble. Keep singing now, would you? Quietly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just kneel here. Kneel. Bless you, Becky. Kneel. Saints, I need two or three saints. Hallelujah. Somebody that knows how to pray quickly. Step out of here. Hallelujah. Help us, Mother. Hallelujah. I need some saints up here praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? There is somebody else. I know. I feel it. Would you come? Would you come to Christ? He'll save you. He'll save you. Oh, I love an old altar call service. Come. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Would you come? Anybody need to be saved? You need to renew your salvation. You've been lax and careless, fragile, and carelessly. Would you come? I want everybody in the building that knows how to pray to come with me. All of you visitors, just come and pray. Let's come around the altars now and just pray. Just get as close as you can. Hallelujah. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. I surrender. Hallelujah. All to Jesus.
I surrender.
All to Jesus.
Lord, I
God, will you put our life back together?
To thee.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I love.
Hallelujah.
Power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessing fall on me.
Hallelujah. Pray, church, all over the building. Just pray.
Blessing.
my blessed Redeemer,
I surrender. I surrender. Oh, the joy.